In the back of the building. Jennifer Smith is here on deck, ready to go. So we are going to wrap up this segment, but it's never a time when it's quiet over in my amen corner over here. Oh, my goodness, I have a phone call. Mary Reed in Miami Gardens. Mary, hi, Reed. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Yes, hi. My name is Mary Reed.
Reeves. I'm sorry, Mary.
Yeah. Okay. But I was listening, and I wasn't a big fan of Miss Regalado prior to listening to her tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I was really touched by what she said.
Thank you.
And how she's presented herself.
Mm-hmm.
And we need some fresh blood. We need some new blood.
Awesome.
In this city. I mean, in this whole country, really.
Amen.
But particularly where I live, in Miami-Dade.
Yeah.
And this is not a paid political campaign ad or anything.
She did not call you. She said, call me right now. It's true. I didn't. She didn't pick up a phone.
And I am touched by her. And I just pray that she wins and that she does all the things that she professed tonight from her heart. Okay?
Thank you.
I felt it. And I just want to say we need more of it in Dade County.
Thank you. Awesome. I love this place. Born and raised here. It's a wonderful place. And listen, one of the things that I tell people in this race is, you know, we should expect more of Miami-Dade County government. You know, part of the problem that I have is everyone expects that it's just a disaster and it can't be fixed. And I disagree. I think that there are some good people at county government. There's people who want to make a change. You know, we've changed the school system. I think that we can do the same at the county and we can go raising the bar. And wouldn't it be fantastic to have someone at County Hall that partnered with our educational system and that valued it?
Most
yeah.
definitely.
Just want to jump in
because
real quick.
My daughter is a teacher.
Oh,
and I am very much aware of their circumstances right now.
Can you hear?
And what they are up against.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that, Mary.
I wanted to let the listeners know, August 30th may not be the be-all, end-all for this particular race. If no one gets 51% of the vote from August 30th, they do go to a runoff in the mayoral election. So,
and the polling says that we will. I mean, we want people to turn out.
Want people to turn out, and so vote your conscience, vote what you want to do, but at the end of the day, there may be a real grand opportunity for Raquel to finally get that face-to-face debate beyond all the
stuff. I mean, I'm right here.
It's not because it's not winner take all.
Right. DC, so your thoughts?
Well, listening to Ms. Regalado, you know, I agree with her on most points. But our kids are not born criminals. And so to me, the number one problem is how do they get from an innocent young child out of their mother's womb to this life of criminality? And the district is one of the biggest culprits. Why? Because of the lack of opportunities they give to people of color. When I first started dealing with this situation 7 years ago when Cavallo came in, they were only spending 1.4% with black contractors 7 years ago. Today they are spending only 1.4% with black contractors.
Is that part of the disparity?
Yes, it is. A flawed disparity study at that.
Mm-hmm.
A flawed disparity study that they spent $500,000 on. Right now, last year, they rolled out 53 schools of choice programs in the county.
Mm-hmm.
The urban core, which I represent under iCare, Inner City Alumni for Responsible Education, only three of those programs came to the urban core, District 1 and 2. They're going to roll out 57 more this year and another three. It's coming to the urban core. So with all of that situation, with all of this information I'm giving you, it spells a lack of opportunities for people of color in poor communities and more advancement and more opportunities for people in affluent communities. So if the school district did right by us, then you won't see the criminality that you see on the street. You are the fourth largest school district with a school budget of $5.6 billion, billion with a B, with procurement well over $1 billion, and you spending a paltry 1.4% with the urban core, and you expect our kids to be on the same par as your kids, and that's not happening. And you also link with the Beacon Council.
Well, then, I hate the Beacon Council.
Well, but I'm going to, you know what I'm about to say.
No, I know. I agree.
You know what I'm about to say.
I agree.
You have seven targeted industries in the Beacon Council that's supposed to provide training via magnets in the schools for our kids. Black schools are getting very few of those magnets, which means very few of the jobs after they graduate. Therefore, we are forced to either leave and haul ass, or we are forced to do what we can to feed our family. So, and what I'm telling you, and what I'm telling everybody that's listening, that until you do right, like you remember Sealy,
until you do right by us,
we're going to be on y'all ass until you do right as a collective. And yes, that's why the school board race is so important in District 1. Why? Because we don't need... I respect T. Holloway, but you've been there for 9 years just rubber stamping, no questioning, just rubber stamping the superintendent agenda, which literally has been killing us. Which literally has been killing us.
All right, do So,
let me speak for a little time. We, you being one of the largest employers, you like the third or fourth largest employer in the second largest employer in Miami-Dade.
Second in Florida.
It's Miami-Dade. 50,000. The government, Dade County government, which has a $6.5 billion budget. You have a $5.6 billion budget. If you're not doing right by the black community is dying. The blood of those children dying in the streets, some of that blood belong to you. So until we're going to fight like hell to make sure that the district and every other employer that's supposed to be getting money to do right by people of color, are going to spend that money where it's designed to be spent. That's all I have to say.
Right. Let me respond to a few of those. He threw out a lot of stuff. Number one, one of the first things that I said when I decided to run for mayor is that I want to eliminate the Beacon Council. The Beacon Council has existed for 30 years. It gets what's called the small business tax. It doesn't do anything that it's supposed to do. It's a glorified chamber of commerce. One of the reasons that the Herald has been so vehement against my candidacy is because they love the Beacon Council. I've criticized the Beacon Council not only on the county level, but also on the school board level. So I agree with you on the fact that the Beacon Council is not doing a good job. There's also a lot of issues with workforce. Our workforce problem, our workforce projects are not representing our community well. They're not giving them an opportunity. I think for the most part, it's just a PR thing. It's not really providing jobs. The other thing regarding our budget, 87% of our budget is salaries, folks. So, I mean, you talk about a big budget. I mean, Miami-Dade County has 25,000 employees. Miami-Dade County Public Schools has over 50. You know, we were talking earlier about this budget, and I didn't get to explain the VAB, and I won't get into the VAB. It's very complicated. But the reality is that Miami-Dade County owed us a lot of money. We were finally able to get that money back by closing the books on time. You know, we had help from our friends in Tallahassee. Dwight was one of them. That's been our number one priority for 30 years. We were losing $38 million a year, thanks to Miami-Dade County's negligence in terms of the appellate process. So I sued BP. I sued the county. We cobbled all that money together. We got $60 million. That's going to give our teachers a raise this summer. But we also decided to raise first-year teacher salary so we can be competitive and raise our minimum wage from $8 to $10. But it's very hard when what you get from the state is a 1% that's really a 0.04%.
Most of that most of the money that you get is still going to more affluent schools.
Well, if you look at the per student,
the per student
number. If you look at Title I and Title II, that's not true of every single district.
You yourself said that those monies are being diverted, and they are. You have a term called Title I portability.
I don't have it in my district. I know there's other districts, but I don't do it.
Okay, I'm not saying that you do. I'm talking about the district as a whole. I'm not attacking you personally.
I'm just
attacking the district as a whole. If you look at any affluent school, go on their portals. See how many magnets they got, true magnets. We're not talking about iPreps, which is nothing but a lab. We're talking about true magnets that line up with the Beacon Council, that line up with those schools of choice. Look at any one of their portals and see how many magnets. Some of them have 5, 6, 7, 8 magnets. You go to Central Northwestern, Booger T, they got a magnet and a half.
They wonder why
our kids are not successful upon graduation here in Miami-Dade County. You got to give it up. So y'all, as a whole, got to be more susceptible to the needs of our community. Or you are part and parcel, part of the problem that's creating the criminality in our community.
And I will tell you, from my 6 years...
Well, let me get Dwight.
Yeah.
I just want to quickly jump in, and what DC's talking about is something I was conversing with some folks today, the difference between equality and equity, right? We always talk about proportional spending and that every child has a dollar amount attached, and we know that, and that is what equality looks like, that every child carries the same amount. But as we know, you have autistic children, you have poor children, you have disenfranchised children, children from all sort of walks of life, and they deserve more resources. As uncomfortable as it for people to understand that, people need to understand that if a child is walking through a crime-ridden community, that they're getting it from both ends, you have gangs going on and police violence at the same time, that child versus a child who's being dropped off by a car service... should have disparate resources. I mean, we have to be real about having that conversation, right? And that is that there are holistic services that need to be applied to certain children that do not get them and other children do. And don't get me wrong, you have various levels of socioeconomics at every school in the county, but what DC is speaking to is a very real and serious problem that when you're rolling out programs... whether it's construction, whether it's tourism, whether we live in a service-driven economy, right? You have all these kids that, if they end up turning to a life of crime, can do mathematics in their brain that some of us that pales in comparison to what some of us can do, that are going untapped as a resource in terms of being able to talk about high-level math programs, how to talk about financial literacy programs, how to talk about social entrepreneurship. Tech startup, et cetera, that they could be thriving in starting in middle school, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade.
So glad you said middle school. Look, that's DC, I would tell you, and look, one of the issues that we have at the school district is that it's very difficult for us to go into other districts and tell school board members what to do. I've tried, and I've gotten a lot of backlash.
That's why we're advocating that we have a change in District 1 because he ain't did a damn thing in nine years. That's why we need Steve Gallen in District 1 because we're trying to get rid of those suckers who ain't doing nothing but rubber stamping and want to die with a pension on the damn desk.
But so that you understand, I mean, in my district, I've been an advocate for K-8 for the reason that I've been an advocate for the K-8 system is because I'm a single parent. I have two kids. We know that parents do not participate in middle schools. One of the issues that we have is that middle schools are not working anymore, and we need to be honest about it. I know people don't want to let go of the middle school, but that's a reality. The other thing that I've been an advocate of is the 6-12. The 6-12 system works better. It allows children to learn math and to start a magnet program earlier.
But even at that, K-8 schools south of Flagler, they're built brand new. K-8 schools north of 36th Street, you get old dilapidated buildings like Westview, like Drew. You turn them into K-8s. We want the same aesthetics as you do. Well, the same aesthetics. You understand me?
Let me ask
you. With a conducive learning environment, it's not happening.
Let me ask you something. In terms of, again, you know, I've been very quiet because I'm learning a lot tonight. But in terms of the support behind the scenes from the families and from the people in the districts. Now, okay, you walked on both sides. So you had a very affluent district. So you had, just like you said, you could go out and get the resources because the people were there. So less affluent communities, would you say that the resources are not there to back up the initiatives that you want to move forward? Is that part of the problem? Is it just a function of money?
I think it's a function of partnerships and vision. I think, you know, a lot of times, and listen, I've criticized the rollout sometimes because I agree with you. Some of it is smoke and mirrors. But, you know, the school board members need to demand certain programming, right, and have that programming align with the people that live there.
So that runs into what you're saying.
Well, I agree with her on that. Yeah. Yes, we do need change with a school board member or so. All right, we're going to concentrate on District 1 right now, you know. But we had two young ladies the other day. I'm going to give you a prime example of how this worked. We had a meeting with Valentina Brown in the district last week. We brought to that meeting two young ladies in District 1 that has to get up at 4 o'clock every day. 4 o'clock. You know why? Because they are chasing that dream. And the only way that they can get that dream is by going to other, more affluent communities to take those courses. Right. Instead of having the courses, one in elementary, one in junior high, one in senior high, in the urban core, she may have taken the course in middle school, but now wants to continue it in high school. She got to go outside of her district and travel at 4 o'clock in the morning. Right. That's a travesty. Right. Yeah. Under any circumstances. Right. So we got to fight against that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris Noel.
Carlos is gone. Okay, I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've noticed at the school district, and I think that doesn't get a lot of discussion, a lot of play, is when our school district actually took over the Head Start program.
Oh, back to the county. Fun.
Yeah. And so, you know, our school district basically became a
part. Well, the county wasn't doing it right, so the school district stepped in. Now we would argue that no one is doing it right, you know, and there's a lot of concerns about how much access there is. Are we following the federal mandates? Do we have enough placement? I don't think we have enough placement. Look, one of the things
second, Ms. Fragolato, but when that was done, that was our school district. Head Start is for very poor children. And so that was an initiative done by our school district. I think doesn't get a lot of play. Because when we took over that contract, we were now making the Head Start program is arguably the best anti-poverty program in the history of America.
Right.
And so why is it that that's not discussed more as a part of the vision of what our district has done over the past few years? You never hear anybody talking about the effect of that. In addition to that, the power of it also is that you have that transition. Now that the school district has a big footprint in Head Start, kids can now transition into the Florida Sunshine Standards very easily. You know, in Broward County, their school district, they are the Head Start program. They actually have the federal contract. In Dade County, we don't have that. The county has that contract. Is that something, as mayor, would you...
Yes,
definitely. Advocate that the school district take over that contract?
Well, I think we have to sign a compact that allows some accountability. I don't want to eliminate the committee that was created by the federal government to sort of oversee Head Start. But one of the things that I think that we should definitely be talking about at the county level is, number one, more spots for Head Start. We have a waiting list for Head Start. Mm-hmm. And I would go a step further. Look, I'm an advocate of pre-K-4, and I would even go as far as mandatory pre-K-4. If you let me, I think that there is such a need in our community because of our dynamic. Look, one of the reasons.
But why is the county involved in child care? Isn't that more appropriate for the school district?
I agree with you. But at the time, the application was put in by the county, right. And that's a lot of the issues that we have with the county. The county is not applying for this federal and state programming, right. And the district has to go through the county. Look, I was a part of a group of parents that went up to Washington, and we allocated $240 million for vocational training for adults with disability in the autism spectrum. The county refused to apply for that grant. You know, and as a parent of an autistic child that turns 13 next Saturday, right, it broke my heart because we could be providing our kids with so many opportunities. That money is there, and we're just not requesting it. But look, one of the things that I think it's so important that we should be talking about in this race that we're not is how out of touch some of our elected officials are. And I brought that conversation to the school board. I can't wait to bring it to the county. This is the reality of my life. I am a single parent. I have an 11-year-old and I have a 13-year-old. My kids go to after school. I do not have grandparents that are raising my children. I pick my children up at 6 o'clock. I sit in traffic. By the time I get home, I feed them. They take a bath. I have 45 minutes to go to bed. We start again.
Mm-hmm.
My life is most people's lives, right? And this is why everyone is so frustrated, because it's not that we don't, it's not that traffic is horrible and we're just complaining. It's that traffic is impacting our lives and the time that we have with our children. You know, the issue is not that we want to leave our kids in aftercare. It's that we have to leave our kids in aftercare. I mean, I just paid a fortune for summer care. How many kids, you know, we're raising an entire generation of latchkey children because people can't pay for summer camp. Summer camp in Miami-Dade County costs you between $90 to $140 a week. I mean, who can pay that? You know, now we're going to have a teacher work day. What happens on a teacher work day? Our teachers take the kids to school. Kids are home alone because we live in a community where older people are working, where people are working one and two jobs to survive, and there is no safety net. And it would be wonderful to have someone at the county who is putting our park system to work, who is utilizing all these existing resources and providing our families with options, not only during spring break and Christmas break, but during summer and during teacher work days, to try to provide people with a little bit of flexibility so that they can work and their children can have someone watching over them, and that it can be aligned with what's happening at the school district. You know, when Carlos Jimenez was shutting down the libraries, I offered him an MOU, you know, because I don't understand. Dwight, isn't it crazy that the library system is not aligned with Miami-Dade County Public Schools and we have the duplication of resources?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. That's simple stuff.
Ruben on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hey, Jill. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am well. Brother DC, I am. What's going on?
I am, brother. How you doing, Ruben?
All right. I just wanted to follow up on some of the points that DC made. And what he was talking about is that feeder pattern. If you know, over at, for example, at what was once Miami Edison Middle School, they had the iPrep Academy. So those kids will go in there and they'll get a high-level education about cyber, about computers and technology and that sort of thing. But they have no feeder pattern in their community that they can go to further their education. They have to be bused out into other schools. And so why would you put something there in the school to give that kid a promise mm-hmm. that they can have a future, and then remove the opportunity for them to further their education at a senior high school that's close by?
Mm.
So that's one example. The other example, we talked about jobs. When DZ is talking about the 1%, one of the things that we know, if you respect our community enough, or you feel that you need our community enough to come into our community and ask for our votes, then you need to respect us enough to give us opportunities. And I think that this, and this is no reflection on you, Ms. Regalado, but this just across the board, politicians across the board. What I find is that they continue to come to our churches, come to our radio stations and ask for our vote, ask for our support. But then when it comes time to really bring benefits to our community, they're not giving us those benefits.
Okay,
you
Ruben.
Give a black contractor
Ruben.
Job, they will, you give them a contract, they will be able to give jobs to black folks in our community.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to share.
Okay. Thank you so much. And that's a great place to end, because I think that part two of that conversation is, you know, not only what people have on the table, but who are we holding them accountable for what needs to be done. That will be the continuation of that conversation. Raquel Regalado, thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. You have taken Eve's crown. I have to bring you a crown next time you come. And DC Clark, as always, Dwight Bullard and Chris Norwood are hanging around. DC might hang around too for a minute, but right, you got your grind to hit.
So my son starts middle school tomorrow.
I know.
I
happy birthday to your daughter, because we share the birthday.
Oh.
Mine is Saturday too.
Fantastic.
So she's a beautiful Virgo.
Yes, she is.
Thank you so much, and we have to get together and go have a pincho burger one day.
Yes, we got to talk burgers.
Awesome.
You're missing out on some great
burgers.
Right?
I know. Thank you for Manny Hernandez. And we'll be back on the other side. Jennifer Smith is in the house. Fellas, let's go. Why are you faking it? Stay tuned, I am. Jill Tracy on Hot Talk. It's Hot 105.
Hot Talk. We'll be right back on Hot 105.
She's won 10 Grammy Awards,
7 Stellar Awards.
She's sold over 12 million records worldwide. And she's the biggest selling female gospel artist of all time. She's CeCe Winans. And she's the next featured artist on our Hot Live Up Close and Personal series. Friday, September 2nd, hosted by James T. and Jill Tracy. From 1 till 3 p.m. The only way to be a part of this once in a lifetime experience
is to win your way in
by locking all of your radios to 105.1 and listen for the designated song to text and win.
Hot Live
Up Close and Personal with CeCe Winans is exclusively on the home of CeCe
and today's R&B and old school
Hot 105. For more chances to win and listen for this experience from anywhere, download our free app by texting Hot 105 after 28367 now.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
If you have a disability or special medical needs and a disaster strikes your community, you need to have a plan in place to ensure your safety. To help with your planning, the Florida Division of Emergency Management, in coordination with local emergency management officials, has launched a statewide special needs registry. Go to flgetaplan.com today to create a plan and sign up at the Florida Special Needs Registry.
Oh, that was a great class. I'm so thirsty.
Hey, what's that?
That's my Grace 100% pure coconut water.
Wait a minute. My coconut water doesn't do that.
Maybe your coconut water isn't Grace 100% pure coconut water. Here, try some.
Wow, that's refreshing. And it tastes great.
That's Grace 100% pure coconut water.
Refresh yourself with Grace 100% pure coconut water. Available at your favorite grocery store.
You've got a business plan, weekend plans, and now you've gone from cell phone plans to data plans. But do you have a car accident plan? Car accidents happen. What you plan to do next can make all the difference. Car accident? Remember, after 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN knows about car accidents. It's what they do. Call 1-800-411-PAIN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from home, hospital, or the accident scene. Call 1-800-411-PAIN and let them put you in touch with a qualified attorney who can explain to you how much money you may be entitled to depending on the facts of your accident. Plan now. Program 1-800-411-PAIN into your phone under accident. Car accident? Remember, after 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service, non-employee spokesperson.
Tom Joyner in the morning. The Tom Joyner Morning Show. And everybody knows the song.
5.1. Ryan Lochte, you are the Bama of
yes,
the week.
Yes, you are.
Oh, Ryan said he got robbed in Rio, y'all. We know who he really think robbed him. Michael Phelps. He knows. He's the Scottie Pippen of swimming. He won so much silver. He even dyed his hair silver.
Yeah.
Why not gold? Silver.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
Hot 105. Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Yes, indeed, we are back. Thank you so much for listening. Shout out to everybody on Facebook Live. Hey, Ricky Brown, Eric McDuffie, Constance Denise Myers Moynihan. She has kept the Facebook Live hot. This show, yes, we do need. So we need more segments. We do, girl, because the time flies like that. Jennifer Smith is in the building.
Hey.
How are you, sunshine?
I'm doing great. That was a pretty hot topic.
That was.
We're going from one hot topic to another. Yeah.
It's a huge. It really is a huge topic, and there's just so many. That we wanted to kind of get through, but this is it was a candidate open mic, and I'm so glad that she came. Like I said, I was just really impressed, and the caller, it was the same thing. It's just really impressed at her level of dedication, and I really believe in that. Wherever you are, you know, you really show and prove for who you're representing.
Right.
You know, nobody can hate on that. You know,
definitely
with the exception of the falseness of, I'm not going to get on Trump.
Let's not.
Who probably has been faking it all his life with them little tiny fingers.
And okay. I believe every woman he's probably been with has faked it,
it's
too.
It's faked it.
He only takes models and bottles.
Okay. He does. You know, and those billions don't, yeah. People, listen, women begrudge billionaires a lot of things. Trust me. So we got on this topic because we were having the conversation. I was having a conversation recently with a couple of couples.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're talking about how it's a common problem in relationships.
Yes.
When people are just not. So money and sexual satisfaction are the biggest problems.
Yes, if you were having sex with a billionaire, you might want to fake it too.
Right. You might have incentive.
You might have an incentive to fake it. But for most people, they don't even have to have an incentive to fake it. A lot of people in their relationships are just faking it just because.
And okay, and what? Why? The first one I said that Dwight Cox said to the side, he's like, okay, why? Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? Yeah,
because people are lazy lovers.
We're talking about men, right? Or are we talking about just...
No, we're talking about both. We're talking about both.
We're talking about both.
We're opening it up to talk about men and women. It's just neutral being playing lazy. Grounds here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, people are...
Tamika said very true.
Yeah. People are lazy lovers. People are not striving to be better lovers to their partner.
I need them to be the best they can be. I mean, at the end of the day. Just.
But you have to come into the relationship with those standards.
Strive for greatness in all that you do.
But you have to set the standards in your relationship or whoever you're... being intimate with. Most people are not setting those standards of, okay, so tell me what you like. Tell me how I can please you. People automatically assume, mostly women, that a man is just supposed to come in and know what to do. And that's not the case.
I need clarity. I need direction here. when we say fake it, what are we talking about exactly? Are we just saying faking like you're liking the relationship?
Or? No, we're talking about faking an orgasm.
Okay. Gotcha.
The views and opinions here on Hot Dog are those of the guest, and this is late night. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, so there you go. Okay, go ahead. But yes, that is what we're talking about, and so that was the response from several people in the conversation that I was having. It was like, men can't fake it. Men can't. And then she said, no, yes, they do. Have you ever checked afterwards? Do you know whether or not? Exactly. Yeah. Now, what would you do? Now, see, this is what I said. What would you do if a woman said, did you? And you said, yes. And she said, let me see it.
I'd show it. I mean, it's not a...
You'd be okay with that.
I mean, my whole thing is like, first of all, I wouldn't fake it. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we can all agree, for those of us who've had orgasms in the past, that it's a phenomenal
experience. Yeah. Right.
I mean,
right.
It's something everyone should shoot for.
Sure. Right.
Sure. Right.
Sure.
Sure. Right.
Put so, up pucks.
So the idea that that people are men are sitting there just phoning it in, saying, "All right, I can get it. I can think about it. I just don't know
why
you wouldn't just finish, you know, go to a completion."
Well, because
no matter what the circumstance.
Let me clear about something. I mean, I don't know, you know, some men might not be able to really fake it. I mean, like, fake it, like...
Well, you said you faked it.
If it's not happening...
Because you didn't want to hurt her feelings.
Right, if it's not happening, it's just not going to happen because I'm not interested.
So in that case...
It ain't going to go down.
Right, so how do you fake it then?
It ain't going to go the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm not feeling it, I ain't feeling it.
So do you tell her that, or do you...
Oh, she'll see it.
she'll see it. Okay, yeah. She'll feel it.
There's that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there won't be an erection anymore.
Yeah, I'm not interested. And if I take the blame, I'll just take the blame like, oh, well, okay, yeah, if that makes her feel better.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm not into it.
Well, kudos to you for actually having the conversation and telling her that it's just not... It's just not there for you at that moment.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I can't fake it. Okay. Like, it either is there or it's not there.
But you do tell her, though.
I don't have to tell her.
Most people are not telling their partners that they're not getting off or they're not reaching climax. And that's a problem in our society that we need to start having those conversations. If you're not getting there, let your partner know, because you can't get there if you're not telling them.
And the conversation became, you know, if this is so much... It is so much a part of your life that why is it that we have difficulty having those conversations in such an intimate moment? Tamika Cooney says sex is more mental for women than physical.
Right.
It is more physical for men.
Well, I think we've always heard about the notion of females faking orgasms and understanding
yes,
that.
It is a long-held tradition.
Yeah.
One that we're trying to break.
Exactly.
Yeah. And how the mental aspect of sex really plays into that. But, I mean, it's... And that should be... What I never understand is why there isn't a deeper communication in moments of intimacy or leading up to moments of intimacy.
Right.
Here it is. You're about to lay yourself down, be vulnerable, you know.
As you could possibly be.
As you could possibly be. And for some reason, people will not have the conversation about what they like or what they don't like or do this or don't do this.
That's what you were saying, that a lot of your client, that's a lot of your client base is people that are just like, I can't talk about it.
And it's like, well, he's supposed to know what to do. No, he's not.
See, that's when you just got to be ignorant. You know, maybe your educational background is stopping you from being ignorant and just saying, look, hey, we got to stop. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't working right now.
Right, but people are afraid.
And I don't really know what it is that you want to tell me.
It's one of two things. When you go in and you tell somebody, listen, this if a woman is coming to a man and saying, this is not working for me, immediately the man's ego shot down. Then he got a complex, he got low self-esteem, now he don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a partner who actually is willing to take constructive criticism, or not even constructive criticism, is just saying, listen, this is just not pleasing me. What worked for you in the past ain't working now. I'm trying to teach you what's going to get me to that point so that we can have a better sexual connection.
Right. Yeah. And that's a better relationship,
right.
A better, you know, life, a better community. It's all about the community at the end of the day.
I always relate everything to a journey. Either you're on the journey with me.
Yes.
Or you're not.
Right. And we're trying to get everybody on the journey. We are, and it's very true what we talked about earlier, that, you know, one of the problems in our community is that we are all very, some angry, some stressed out.
Yeah.
You know, when you're broke, it's hard to think about anything else, honestly. So, you know, if there is any place where you can gather strength and guidance and connection, it is in your sexual relationship with your partner, you know, in a committed, we hope, relationship with one, we hope, going in that direction.
Married people, right.
Yes. Oh, I mean, well, not necessarily married people, but in your relationship.
I know.
You know, whoever you're... You know what I'm saying. But no, I'm being very serious that, you know, that whole idea of happy wife, happy life,
right.
Or I couldn't think of something to rhyme with happy girlfriend or happy boyfriend, you know, but it is, you leave the house with a different vibrancy
when
your mind is focused on, you can be in the moment at work and everywhere else and bring yourself fully.
The effort.
You can bring yourself fully into everything that you do because you're at home. You are so happy and satisfied.
But you know, some people don't respond well to pressure. It's like high stakes testing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's like high stakes testing.
High stakes testing. You know?
Right.
Some people don't respond well to pressure. But
that's the whole thing.
These are conversations that one should have, like over breakfast, like over lunch. You know.
But you wouldn't get anything else done for the rest of the day. I'm on my way.
Oh, no. I'm talking about you having lunch and you're just talking. Like, okay, how are we going to do
this? I don't know. Over my Caesar salad, I don't know if I say, you know, that nipple ring thing, it didn't work. What can I tell you?
It's never, there's never going to be a good time to have that conversation.
Would you do it? I mean, but honestly, he makes a point. Would you do it over lunch?
I do it over dinner all the time. How's this going down later?
Well, I mean, he raises a very valid point. It's like, okay, we have these sort of weird expectations. The day plays out. Then we get caught in a situation where we know what we want the ultimate goal to be.
Right.
But we're not willing to discuss it. I mean,
right. What
I'm saying is, you know, let go of the repression, relax, and just be upfront. And what I say about being upfront is I think a lot of us don't, especially from the male side, we don't want to mess up the opportunity, right? So...
I think a lot of that, I think there's
some anxiety there in the case. It's like, oh, we're here, so I don't want to tell you left, right, this way, that way. I just want to, you know, I want to hope for the best, right?
Yeah, I want to make sure my position.
Right.
But I want to make sure this happens.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything.
But at the end of the day, you know, if you become an experienced person in this regard to a degree and you know what you like and what you don't like, you have to be more vocal.
Right.
That is a very good point, though. Yeah. Any man who can listen to his woman's feelings in the proper setting, you should always be sensitive and attentive when approaching these kinds of conversations. That is also from Tamika.
Oh, Tamika speaking some wisdom tonight.
Listen, Tamika, good work with you.
I'm really surprised no one's called in yet because I'm sure that there are some people at home that have definitely experienced faking it. One woman told me when I was talking at the Black Girl Magic event that we went to, great event, she said that she fakes it on the regular.
And a lot of people do. I think they just don't want their voices heard on the radio saying that I am, you know, it's one of those things. But it's interesting that you would let so much of, and the reason why, you know, we thought it was a topic was because... it's interesting that you would let, if you're letting that much of your life go, then what else are you letting go that
exactly
you should be enjoying in your life?
I agree.
Because it's...
All what? The time she fakes it?
She said on the regular she fakes it. And when I asked her why, she said that, well, one, she wasn't masturbating, which goes back to the conversation we had a couple months ago on the air.
She sounds like she hates herself. That sounds like
and she very well may.
You know, and that's something that I would do as a therapist. I would have her come in and do an evaluation so that I could assess maybe something that's happened to her. And that's sometimes the reason why some people fake is because they've had some type of sexual trauma that happened to them in childhood or as an adult, and they had a bad experience. And so now they may feel shamed that if they had an orgasm, that's not something, they're receiving pleasure and they're not supposed to be.
Right.
Because it's based on something that's happened to them.
Yeah.
So sometimes there are other factors that play a part. It's more than just, I don't want to get, you know, my partner can't please me.
Yeah, but so is that normal? I mean, is it just, you know, and I say that because when we were in Naples, we were having this conversation with a couple, and she said, you know what, I have not been interested in my husband in that way in 6 months. Is it normal?
People go through peaks and valleys in their relationships, but I would be more curious about to see what happened 6 months ago that caused her to just not be attracted to him anymore.
I guess that's one of the who's married in here? Is anybody? No.
No.
Nobody's married in here.
To the game.
Dwight's like, yeah.
See the way my account works.
Phyllis from Hollywood. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wanted to talk about the climax part. You know, it's about communication, like they said. I, for one, cannot reach an orgasm while penetrated, so I always let the male know ahead of time, I won't be able to do this while you're, you know,
there.
While you're connected, you have to do such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't, you know, one guy, he couldn't accept that, and he felt like, okay, I can let you, or I can make you. So I faked it because he felt like he could, and I'm telling him, no, you can't. So he couldn't accept that fact, so I faked it. And after a while, it's like, okay, I don't have time to keep faking it with me. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. So did you faked it because you didn't want to hurt his feelings?
Well, his feelings were hurt anyway because he felt like he could and he couldn't. So, but I just faked it, and then I knew I didn't want to go there with him anymore
right.
because he felt like he could do it. But I think communication, and I just let everybody know at the beginning, hey, I cannot climax this way. You have to do
this.
She
did her job.
She did.
Don't touch me here. Don't touch me there. I don't like this. So you have to be honest in the beginning so it won't be any miscommunication.
Right.
And that's awesome, Phyllis. I really applause to you for giving that communication to your partner. And if he wasn't receptive in return, then that's on him. You told him the ways to please you and get you there, and you gave him the roadmap. He didn't follow it.
Right. He just, I know the directions.
Yeah.
And he got lost in the wilderness.
That ego. He's like, no, I'm about to make this happen.
No.
Every man wants to feel like he's going to be the one to make
it. Thank you, Phyllis. Right. Well, every man
wants to feel that way.
Phyllis brings up a very good point that a lot of times men are like, oh, no, you just haven't, you know.
Right.
You haven't met me. My name is Dexter. You know, it's like.
You just didn't have the right one. You know, you didn't run into the right one. Make you do this. Okay. All right.
Right.
Whatever. Uh-huh. Okay. That's it.
You did your part, Phyllis. Keep telling
okay,
him.
Okay, keep doing your part.
You know, I would suggest.
Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
I would suggest that all the male listeners out there definitely check out. Used to be on, was it Showtime? Used to be called Gigolos. It was this.
Oh, yeah,
thing,
I remember
right?
that.
What a show. And
what a show.
In between the action scenes, right?
Right.
They'd be sitting there dropping these nuggets of good information, like you have to be.
You have to. That.
You have to be a more attentive listener. You have to be paying attention to what you know, what the body's telling you. All these and that's how they become sort of masters in of that domain. And so a lot of dudes will get caught up in this notion of hypermasculinity, like I can do this and I can lay it down and I'm the best that ever did it. Not understanding, bro. It's like I. For all my male listeners who enjoy sports, here's the sports adage. Once you become a veteran pitcher in the major leagues, you have to create other kinds of pitches in order to effectively get it across home plate. Your fastball ain't going to be your fastball your entire career, bro. So you got to get a curveball. You got to get a slider. You got to get a, you know,
that's
you got to get a knuckleball. You got to switch it up and realize that, you know, you're not going to be throwing 105-mile heaters for the entire life.
Right. It's not going to. Right. So,
you are going to have a bad game.
Exactly. Wait a minute. Yeah. What are we
doing? You have to be accepting of that. Yeah. So that you're
going to
have
a bad
game.
Yeah. Right. Sharon Peters says, that's what I'm talking about. Just as soon as my hubby gets off work, it's on.
Oh.
Jill, I have learned the best way to address these kinds of conversations is to talk about the things you do like first. In that way, you open up the door to address the things that you don't like.
True, oh, that's true, good. True. That's a great way to start.
I think Miss Tamika should be a therapist. Yeah. Tim on line 4. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Tim?
Hello.
Hi, Tim. Yeah. Welcome to Hot Talk.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. I just want to make a little comment. Speaking about the men having the relationship with women,
mm-hmm.
I think that the fact is you have men and then you have boys.
Mm.
And to that point, a lot of times boys just like to just jump in and jump out.
Mm.
So I think a lot has to do with making love. When you're making love, you know, you have a lot of foreplay, which women love. And when you go to touching the body and all over and everything like that, to make them reach to that point, to get to that hot spot, and then all those things be taking place.
Mm.
So that's one of the difference when you're dealing with a boy. So that's why you have to teach them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just if a man knows what he's doing, you wouldn't have that problem because you know what you have to do to fulfill her needs, and you got to make her reach that level to get to that point anyway. Because it takes a lot, mainly for a woman to actually really get into it anyway.
Well, that's very true. Thank you, Tim. School's out over here, though. But I
love that, Tim. I huge difference between a boy and a man.
Yeah.
Huge difference. A boy doesn't want to take directions. He's not trying to hear it. He thinks he has all the answers. A man is going to listen to exactly what you want. He's going to be trying to achieve that goal no matter what route he got to take to get there, how many times he got to go to it. He's going to get there.
He's going to, yeah. And he's going to stay committed to the job.
Right. Tim sounds like he knows what he's doing.
Vernon, you are like quite a church mouse over there. Like, no.
I just want somebody that's on the journey with me. That's
all. There you go. I mean, and that, I mean, but think about that. Mm-hmm. When you think about, and we have to wrap with it, it's called communication. Thank you, Broadway. Broadway said it is communication.
Yeah.
We're out of time, but South Side with you. The movie was about Barack and Michelle. Mm-hmm. And when you look at them, now you know that as a couple that communicates.
Yes.
And that are both very sexually satisfied.
Yes.
And together they make a team. When you see them together, they are a team. That's the kind of, and they say people, that's the kind of relationship you want. And with that kind of relationship, look what they got done. This is what we're talking about, people.
Mm.
So, you know, I think our next conversation, you know, on that topic should be, do you wait until that shows itself, or do you buy toys? We'll talk about that next time.
Just remember, again, Hot Talk Barack Obama tonight. Was a state senator.
He was.
When you were on that journey,
Dwight Bullard said, just remember that Barack Obama was a state senator.
Dwight, we're going to find you a Michelle.
Okay.
Yes, we're going to find you a Michelle. Yes.
Thank you so much for listening, South Florida. We love you, and all the way up to Immokalee. We love you. It's been a great show. You know, everyone is welcome at our table, as you can tell. Next week, it is our last candidate forum. We got good stuff coming up. We got Trina coming in the studio, guys. Yeah, nice. Trina. Yeah, you should go with Trina.
The Diamond Princess coming.
Yeah, the Diamond Princess is coming. I'm looking forward to having her in studio because she is, that is a champion right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people didn't think she'd still be here. And she is, look, it took me how long to get her on the show because she's booked? Thank you. All right, we're out. Love you, mean it. I'll have more David Banner for you coming up in the week. And we'll be right back here on Sunday. Gotta go. Love you, mean it. Bye-bye.
For the night, understand that's kinda late, and I gotta get home to my son, cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him, that's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more, let me give you what I got, so. I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death, I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed, I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed. Yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. Yes. My son, father doing is absolute. I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. Yeah, yeah, yes. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Struggle gon' happen, it's just the way it be. Ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know, take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song, you're so blessed. Yes, yes, gonna rock the show on all day long, you're so blessed. Yes. Hands up in the air, waving like we just don't care. We're so blessed, yeah, 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 yeah. brush the dust up. When the sleep spread, woke up refreshed. Mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes.
Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? CMG Local Solutions can help you take out all the guesswork out of digital marketing. Reach the right customer with a simple online marketing solution that is right for you. Learn more at cmglocalsolutions.com.
South Florida, this is attorney Al Barzakai. You know me as Attorney Big Al from 1-800-HURT-123. By now you know that only a lawyer can represent you for your injuries, and you don't want to trust just any lawyer. You want a lawyer that will always take your call day or night. I'm not a referral service or a random nobody at a call center. When you call me at 1-800-HURT-123, you get me, Attorney Big Al, a licensed Florida attorney. From my main office in Hollywood, I want to help you. Call me now at 1-800-HURT-123. That's 1-800-HURT-123.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your boy Pup Daddy, and we fitting to get loose. And you're listening to WHQT, Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105, a Cox Media Group station.
Have you shared a little sunshine lately? You can share it virtually by tagging your social posts with hashtag LoveFL. Or you can share it in reality by inviting friends and family down for a visit to catch some rays with you. It not only brings smiles to their faces, it helps our state's economy. So invite someone you know to Florida and help our state stay sunny. This message sponsored by Visit Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
When your customers call, the last thing you want them to hear is this.
Please stay on the line. Your call is important to us.
Or this.
I'm out of the office right now, but leave a message and I'll call you back soon.
You definitely don't want them to hear this. What you do want them to hear is you. Which is hard because running a small business, you're rarely ever in one place. Introducing OneTalk from Verizon. Now your desk phone and smartphone can work together on one number and ring at the same time, so you won't miss a call. Calls can easily be passed between your phones, so your conversations go where you go. And when you're not available, OneTalk helps find the right person who is. So wherever work takes you, you can put your customers first. And they don't have to listen to any more of this. Learn more at OneTalk.com and see why more small businesses choose Verizon. Because in business, better matters. OneTalk capable desk phone must be purchased from Verizon to support some of these features. Results based on third-party studies.
105.1, today's R&B and old school.